Father, tonight we come seeking a sanctuary for our fear. We seek refuge from our anxiety. We seek asylum from whatever pain or suffering or heartbreak we may be experiencing in our life or whatever we may be experiencing in our world. We gather in anticipation, we gather in hope, we gather in expectation to hear the good news of the gospel once again, to hear this ancient story of a God who loved us so much that he would give his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So, Father, we are so grateful that you didn't send your Son into the world to condemn but to save. You didn't send your Son into the world to convict, but to redeem. You didn't send your Son into the world, Father, to declare us guilty, but to make us righteous. It's because of Jesus that we don't have to be afraid, because fear has to do with judgment and punishment, and he has taken those things on himself. So, Father, tonight, we ask that you would perfect us in your love. That you would perfect us in Christ, that we may be finally, fully, completely set free from all our fears. We pray this in the strong and the sure name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, if you are new with us or just visiting with us, or maybe it's been a while since you've been with us, I want to just say a special Merry Christmas to you. We are so glad you're here. My name is Doug Ressler. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a delight. It's my joy to be able to share God's Word with you this evening. So why don't you go ahead and grab a Bible? If you don't have one with you, you know, there should be one in the pew or the chair in front of you. If you've got it on your phone, that's fine. The Bible app, go ahead and encourage you to open that. We are going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. What Matt just read out of the Message version earlier in our service, maybe you have grown up looking at the Peanuts cartoon and you remember Linus reading this great story, right? Christmas after Christmas. Or maybe you've been around the church and Christmas is something you celebrate each and every year. So it's a very familiar story. For those who may not know, it's in the New Testament. It's in the second half of the book. So if you're unfamiliar with where to find it in the Bible, that's where you'll find it. And there's lots of course, characters and people and lots that's going on in this story. But tonight, what we are focusing on is the message of the angels, all right, the heavenly host here. And this message is, we've been really focused on all December long, and it's this message of fear not. Fear not. Now, if you're with us, you know that the angels first spoke those words to Zechariah and Mary, this old barren couple that had really lost all hope of ever having children of their own. And the angel appeared to Zechariah and said, "Fear not, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and his name will be called John, and he will be great, and he will pave the way for the Messiah." And then the angel went to Mary and spoke those same words, "Fear not, Mary. Though a virgin, the Holy Spirit will come over you, and you will conceive a child, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great as well, and he will be called Son of the Most High God." And then the angel went and appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Fear not, Joseph, the child that Mary carries in her womb is from God. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid to take Mary as your wife." And then finally, as we heard, the angels appeared to the shepherds pulling that night shift out in the fields outside of Bethlehem with this message, "Fear not, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Fear not." Fear not. You know, we live in a world full of fear, don't we? A world full of anxiety. So many of us struggle with all kinds of fears. In fact, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States today, affecting over 40 million adults, which is about 20% of our population in any given year, and it manifests itself in all sorts of ways. You have generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, which affects 6.8 million adults. Panic disorders affect 6 million. Social anxiety disorder affects an additional 15 million. And then there are specific phobias that impact about 19 million. Women in marginalized groups are the most vulnerable, and it is not uncommon for those who struggle with one or more of these anxiety disorders to also battle depression and despair. And of course, these numbers don't reflect the millions who struggle silently, who've never been diagnosed, nor the millions whose struggle doesn't rise maybe to the level of a medical condition, but who suffer nonetheless, or the millions who struggle with fear and anxiety, but it's more situational. It's a job loss. It's the loss of a loved one. A child is sick, a parent is dying, you get a terminal illness, or even adulting, especially for our young people, can be a source of great fear and anxiety in our world today. And I'm not going to suggest to you this evening that you can just pray and it'll all go away. And I'm not going to suggest to you this evening that somehow if you just had more faith, you wouldn't struggle with fear. Nor am I here to diminish or dismiss the very real fears and anxieties any of us may face. Jesus is very clear. He says, in this world you will have trials. In this world you will struggle. In this world you will suffer. It's just part of life. But what he's also here to say is this. He's here to bring this good news that in the midst of all your fears and all your anxieties and all your struggles and all your suffering and all your pain, you are not alone. You are not alone. You don't have to face your fears alone. You don't have to struggle with your anxieties alone. Though you may feel tonight like you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death this Christmas, there is good news. You are not alone. God is with you. And by the way, this is not just wishful thinking. We're not just coming up with this myth to make us feel better. This is not a religious opioid we take to numb our pain. No, what we gather to do tonight, what we celebrate tonight, is the historical fact. The historical fact that 2,000 years ago, the Creator became one with His creation, stepped off His throne in heaven, and came to earth as a baby lying in a manger. This God exchanged the glories of heaven for the humiliations of this world. He emptied Himself of all of His divine glory and power to become weak and helpless as a newborn baby. He took on flesh and blood. He bore our griefs and sorrows. He shouldered our fears and our failures. He moved into our homes. He moved into our hearts. He moved into our lives. He was unwilling to stand apart from it all. He was unwilling to stand aloof, unwilling to let the gulf between this world and the next keep us from Him. So fear not, friends, fear not. I have good news. Y'all can smile back, by the way, all right? It's good news of a great joy that will be for all people everywhere. Yeah, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is the incarnation of perfect love. He's the embodiment of priceless grace, and He has come to cast out all your fear. Amen? Amen. You know, in a very real sense, the Christmas story, when you think about it, is the story of the Bible. It's told in all sorts of ways throughout the Old and New Testaments. I think especially of the stories that Jesus liked to tell. Those parables where He would describe Himself and the kind of character and nature that He has as the God of the universe. He told one story, one of my favorites. He says, imagine you're a parent and you've got two children. And imagine one of those children comes to you one day and says this, I wish you were dead. I want nothing to do with you. Give me my inheritance because I'm leaving. I'm out of here and don't try to follow me. Don't try to contact me. I'm going as far away as possible. Changing my name, changing my identity. I never want to see you again. Isn't that every parent's worst nightmare? I mean, how would you respond to that as a mother or as a father? Think about the anxiety and fear you would feel as they walked out your door. And of course, you're not the only one watching them walk out. Your other child's watching too. And they see the pain and suffering that causes. And they make it their mission in life to go the other way, right? They work hard. They succeed. They do everything right. They make you proud. But inside, they are in turmoil. Hatred and anger and rage for their sibling just continues to boil over. You see it every time the lost child's name comes up. You see it on their face. Or every time you ask them to pray for their brother or sister to come home, and they refuse. Right? As far as they're concerned, he or she is dead to the family. Again, how would you respond to that? Think about the fear and the grief you would feel as you watch your other child become consumed by their hate. Pretty soon you realize, man, both my children are a mess. Both of them are lost. Both of them must be so anxious and afraid, and your heart breaks for them, and you ache to hold them in your arms again to tell them it's going to be okay. They're the last thing you think about at night when you go to bed. They're the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning. And then one day you get word that your prodigal child is on their way back home, and while they're still far off, you run to them. And you hold them, and they're dirty, and they're tired, and they're broken and beaten down and barely recognizable. But you throw your arms around them anyway, and you cover them with kisses, and you don't dwell on their past. You don't force them to go through a list of their sins and failures. You don't make them do the walk of shame. You simply lift them in your arms in the biggest bear hug, and you weep tears of joy because the lost is now found. The one who was dead is now alive. Your precious child has come home. So you throw a party, right? I mean, you invite all your friends and neighbors. Want everybody to know this child is and always has been your very own. But then you notice that someone's missing. I mean, your other child isn't there to celebrate. So you run out to them. And they too are barely recognizable, so locked up by their hate and their anger and their bitterness. And so you throw your arms around them and you refuse to punish them, and instead you affirm them and you appreciate them and you let them know the return of the prodigal represents no threat because there is plenty of love to go around. Friends, the Father's love for you is limitless. It is boundless. It is matchless. It is free. And so there is no longer a need to be afraid. Why? Because the Father's perfect love casts out all fear. And that's really the message that Jesus wants you to understand this evening, is that overwhelming fear and anxiety, when we experience it, is a natural consequence, a sign that somehow life has been cut off from its source, that this is what happens when our connection is severed between the child and the parent. It's what happens when we try and separate ourselves from our Father's love, either because we're trying to do life on our own, or trying to make our own way, or we feel like we don't need God, or whatever it may be, right? When we do that, we make ourselves vulnerable to fear. And what he further wants you to understand is that the story of Christmas is the story of a God who came into the far country of this world to seek and to save his lost children. God is not up in heaven waiting on you to work your way back to him. God is not in the business of shaming us until we come home, tail tucked between our legs. God is not impatiently waiting for us to get our acts together. No, the message of Christmas is that even though we walk away, even though we want nothing to do with God, even though we reject him and his claim on our lives, even though we renounce him with every ounce of our being, even though we sometimes, if we're honest, wish he were dead, we never stop being his child. All right? We never stop being his child. That's what makes the gospel such good news. The Father runs to us in our broken, beaten down, barely recognizable condition, and he embraces us. Our anger doesn't scare him. Our hate doesn't chase him away. He kisses us. He throws his robe over us. He throws us the biggest party that we've ever seen. Our bitterness cannot stop him from holding us close. Jesus says his Father will search high and low until he finds that one lost sheep. Jesus says his Father will turn creation on its head in order to find that one lost coin. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life, not angels, not demons, not your past, not your present, not your future, all right? Not any power in this world. There is no mountain so high that he will not climb. There is no ocean so vast that he will not cross. There is no hole so deep that he will not plunge right in there with us to be with us. Nothing, friends, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the Father's love. That's the message the angel proclaimed that first Christmas so long ago. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Fear not. Fear not. Now, friends, that is good news. Amen? Yeah. It's good news to an old barren couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. Good news to a young virgin named Mary. Good news to a handyman named Joseph who wondered if his wife-to-be had been sleeping around. It was good news to the poor, outcast, bottom-of-the-rung, socially marginalized shepherds who were keeping watch over the sheep that night. It was good news to pagan astrologers who were traveling to see this Christ from Babylon. All of them invited to worship the newborn king. All of them invited to lay aside their fear, lay aside their anxiety, lay aside the burdens that they carry as they come into the presence of Christ. But it wasn't just good news for them back then, friends. It was good news for us as well. Don't miss what the angel says here. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. That includes you. That includes me. It doesn't matter whether you are black or white or brown. It doesn't matter whether you are gay, straight, or bi. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free, young or old, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat, pagan or Christian. The gospel is good news for all people everywhere. Right? God crossed the heavens to connect with you, friends. God literally entered history in order to have a relationship with you. God invaded time and space in order to reveal himself to you, to make himself known to you. He is Emmanuel. He has come to us. He has come for us. He has come to be with us, to alleviate all our fears, to relieve all of our anxieties, to give us hope and peace and joy this Christmas. And all he asks in return is that you trust him, that you believe him, that you follow him, that you find your true identity in him. And I hope you've done that. And if you haven't, as Pastor Matt shared, come find me, come find Pastor Gary, come find Matt, come find one of us after the service. We will help you find your way to Christ. I've been thinking a lot about this good news, and I've been thinking a lot about these shepherds, and having met Jesus, what is it that they did? What do they do? Having had their own fears relieved through the presence and the perfect love of Christ, what's their first instinct? What's their first response? They go out to spread the good news. They understood this message was too good to keep to themselves, and so they returned to their homes and their villages and their towns to tell others all they had seen and heard. They went back to their families and friends and neighbors and employers, glorifying and praising God for the gift of his Son. This, friends, is God's plan to reach a fearful and anxious world. What was first proclaimed out of the mouth of an angel, all right, is entrusted and continues to be proclaimed out of the mouths and through the words and actions of ordinary people like you and ordinary people like me, the ones entrusted with the good news. We are the ones empowered by Christ himself to take this gospel to the nations, starting right outside our front door. And this, by the way, is the heartbeat of our church. But this is the mission that undergirds all that we do here at Pepsi. I remember talking a few years back with one of the directors of Health and Human Services right here in Douglas County. And she and I were talking about the gaps that exist in service, especially for those who are poor or those who are on Medicaid in our community. And we got talking about mental health in particular, this fear, this anxiety. She shared with me how anxious and afraid their clients are when they finally get to her. They have nowhere to go, nowhere to run. They've tapped out all their resources. They're struggling physically and financially and mentally and emotionally and spiritually and relationally in every way you can imagine. And I began praying that day for an opportunity to help meet this need in the name of Jesus. And I asked God to show us, as a church, how we can be part of casting out fear and anxiety in our own community right here in Parker, Colorado. And that prayer became a vision. And that vision became the Healing Families, Transforming Lives campaign. And our primary goal was to pay off, some of you remember this, to pay off all of our debt as a church, so we could redirect those dollars into launching a licensed Christian counseling center to serve the needs of the least resourced in our community. Friends, I am so proud to announce that through your generous giving, our debt has been paid. Amen. That's almost 2 years early. And we are moving forward to launch the Douglas County Christian Counseling Center in 2020. in Jesus' name. And this doesn't mean our campaign has ended, of course, or that the mission somehow is now over. Quite the opposite. We're just getting started, and your continued giving, again, will only continue to fund the new counseling center, but also a new fully funded youth building we're going to be building up on the hillside. We'll start breaking ground on that in the first quarter of the next year to serve the needs of our students, as well as fund critical mission projects in very dark and dangerous places around the world. Fear not. I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people everywhere. Amen? Amen? Amen. Someone asked the worship team to come back up. That's just one example among many, friends, of what Jesus wants to do in our world through his people. And so we began this service with these words from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Jesus is the light of the world, the light shining in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. And as we walk in his light, friends, we become lights ourselves. We begin to reflect his glory to a darkened world full of fear, full of anxiety. And so tonight we light candles, not just as a beautiful tradition, but as a symbol of our willingness to accept this calling from Christ to carry his light out to the world around us, to carry his life and his love out to those around us, to cast out fear and relieve anxiety of those we meet in Jesus' name. And so I'm going to invite you to stand. Go ahead and stand with us, if you would. I'm going to invite our deacons and Pastor Gary to come forward to assist me in the candle lighting. And as the candle is lit, friends, and as the light of Christ begins to light up the darkness, let's join our voices together in singing that wonderful hymn, one of our favorites, Silent Night.